Hey, welcome to another episode of The State of the Church. I'm here with Wendy and Alex, and I'm Jake. And yes, this episode, it was a really good episode. Pastor Dan was kind of talking about some of the paradigm shifts that we are experiencing, that we're going through. And he mentioned Henry Blackaby's, a little bit of his stuff, his experiencing God principles. And one of the big things he was asking and talking about is, where is God inviting us to join him? And so I'd love to start with the conversation with you guys. Where do you guys feel like God is inviting you to join him now? Where do you feel like God's moving in your lives or in our communities in the church? Pretty broad question, but we'll start with that. Where do you feel like God's moving? Where do you feel like he's inviting you?
Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. I would say for me, the paradigm shift had to start with me first before I feel like I could really move into it with the church. And there had to be a lot of shifting. You know, I grew up in a church where it was heathen to not have church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. And so it's been really difficult for me to move in this direction. I had to spend a lot of time with God. He had to do a lot of tearing down of things in my heart, what church really means, what church is really about, what he really cares deeply about. And so, just moving into that and realizing, as Pastor Dan says, honestly, the really good things aren't happening here on Sunday morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really happening outside and in the neighborhood and in my neighborhood.
Yeah. Do you have any stories or even just like what the process has kind of looked for you as you started to move towards CWOW Sundays? And
sure. Well, you know, I thought it was really kind of cute when they started the whole Front Yard Mission series. And it's like, oh, this is a cute summer thing. You know, I'll walk around the fraternities on really nice days and maybe pray a little bit. And then we'll move on to something biblical, you know? And
over a beer, of course.
So it didn't stop.
Yeah.
Like this whole Front Yard Mission thing didn't stop. And then it was really a process. Like I was annoyed. I was really annoyed for a while, and can we just move on, please, to something else? And God really started. I just remember hearing his voice and his spirit say, there isn't anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. Yeah. This is it. Love me with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I really had to do a lot of changing. And then I realized, because I know sometimes that, you know, the last Sunday, you can miss community, you can feel that loss.
For sure.
So then it was like, okay, God, what can I do? So then once I started leading XYM, eighth grade girls, it was like, okay, so they can all come. We can have church at the house.
Yeah.
The church is at the house. It's not in that building. And so I get now to be a part of teaching and sharing with the next generation about loving your neighbors, about praying for them. And so they do prayer walks with me.
That's cool.
So
that's wonderful. I love that you're doing that and speaking into the girls that you're talking to. And that's awesome. I feel like gone are the days of, if you kind of treat yourself like a car, I pull into Calvary on a Sunday, I fill up my tank, and then I ride those fumes the rest of the week, and then I get filled up again the next Sunday. Because it felt, the church of old, I think, felt very much me-centered.
Yeah.
How am I connecting with God? What do I need for this week? What am I going to do? And maybe there were some gospel conversations, or maybe there were some ways that you helped people out during the week, but it felt very much focused on the self. And I feel like now we're pushing that way out. We are filling up, but we're doing that much more to pour out. I feel like the community, the loss of community from that some people might feel on a Sunday of a CWOW Sunday, I feel that that's not the case. I feel that like when you come to an encounter on a Sunday night, there's much more of a sense of excitement about sharing what you did that weekend to love on your neighbors and throughout that entire week. And even more so, if you can't engage in an encounter for whatever reason, I'd encourage you to. It's awesome. That 2 weeks between being in the building, there's just kind of a sense of, well, tell me what's been going on.
Yeah, like, yeah, sure. Like,
what have you been trying? Yes. What have you been bumping up against? Yeah. And it feels like we're not seeking perfection. We're seeking a bunch of imperfect tries, yeah. And just seeing what lands, because neighbors are all different and fraternity guys are all different, and, mm-hmm. and what works for one fraternity house won't work for the next, and what works for one of my neighbors won't work for the next. And it's yeah. just different ways of each week trying to love people. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. I've been really encouraged by it. I feel like the community at Calvary has gotten stronger mm-hmm. in the sense that we all feel like we're on mission together. Mm-hmm. We all know what our marching orders are.
Yeah.
And granted, we have different sermon series throughout that kind of equip us, but the main marching order, as you said, is to love God and to yeah. love people.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. everything else that we're learning and doing is equipping us to do that well.
Yeah. And I know one of the big paradigm shifts he talks about is from one to many to one to few. And that's kind of what mm-hmm. you're talking about. Like yeah. for so long, church mm-hmm. was a big group of people went and listened to one person talk mm-hmm. and then went off into their weeks and did the, you know, the day-to-day stuff. Now there's a little bit more of that push of, well, no, it's your job biblically to love your neighbors. It's your job biblically to follow me wherever I might lead you. And so it's cool to see there's such a big group of people who are taking that call seriously and are loving their neighbors and are doing more than, like, I know for me, I've done more in the last couple of years, I think, in my walk with Jesus, just because mm-hmm. of that, like, push to, hey, this is for everyone. Like, everyone needs to do this. And so it's cool to see that grow. But it's anytime you have a paradigm shift, there's naturally going to be pushback for mm-hmm. just about everyone. Some yeah, people are sure. a little bit more mm-hmm. adaptable, a little bit more like, oh, it's different. Yeah, let's just go mm-hmm. with it. No problem. But there's a lot of people who love church, which is not wrong. We still love church. Mm-hmm. We still love gathering together. Mm-hmm. We still love worship and sermons and everything like that. But there's going to be people who feel that pushback. So it's cool to hear from your side, Wendy, even to the point of saying it was annoying. Like, I really disliked how much we talked about it, mm-hmm. and then seeing God work through that. That's cool.
I think it's, like, I was a swimmer all the way up from age 5 to 22, mm-hmm. swam in college, and I loved swimming, but I really didn't love practicing.
Yeah.
And if my whole swimming experience would have been practice, I would have tapped out way before age 22. Same thing with coaching. I went on to coach after that. And if it would have just been a bunch of practice, it was fun to be with the kids and to coach them and to see them improve in that area. But the competitions, the meets were what I loved. And I feel like church, the four-wall church, hearing a great sermon from Pastor Dan or somebody else on staff is the practice.
Yeah.
And we've got to go out and do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're
yeah.
we're not called to be professional practicers. We're right. called to be professional professors of God's love and to be Jesus to the people we do life with. And we, yeah. we've got to get out there. We've got to yeah. get on the whatever metaphor you want. We've got to be in the arena. We've got to be on the field. We've got yeah. to be out of the stands. However you want to yeah. say it. That's where we're moving. And it's hard, but it's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, it's looking at church as another analogy is the halftime show
sure.
or the halftime mm-hmm. meeting with the team. That's not what it's all about. It's a good thing. It's a helpful thing. It can, you know, stir you up to do something different. But if mm-hmm. if that's all that there is, then you miss the competition, you miss yeah. the game, you miss the place God's calling you.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned, Alex, and that is about the old way, and it all seemed to be about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's such an important part, and I really appreciate where Calvary has made this shift, because that's one of the huge teaching things that God really had to impress upon me, and I hope he impresses it on everyone in the church. Church is not about me and my preferences. Yeah. It just is not. And he really had to drill that into me. Mm-hmm. You know, there is nothing unbiblical about not coming here the last Sunday of the month and go out into your neighborhood. And I just really had to open my hands and let go of any agenda, mm-hmm. any way I had a preference of doing church. I had to let all of that go.
Uh-huh.
And it's been to a wonderful benefit for me. It's really, really opened up my life so much more. But that's really hard to get over ourselves.
Yeah. yeah.
To be disruptible and interruptible,
yes.
I think are two really big things. And you look at, like, scripture, I mean, there's so many times where some of Jesus' most well-known things are the preaching to the crowds. But there are so many examples in scripture of Jesus stepping away from the crowd to have the conversations. Mm-hmm. Woman at the well, the beggar at the gates. You know what I mean? There are so many moments where Jesus, with tons and tons of people around, you can't imagine it was easy for him to break off from the crowd.
Right.
Because he was just surrounded by his disciples and from people who just wanted a touch of his robe and just to be around him and to soak in what he was about. But he actively sought moments to break away and to engage with the people who no one else wanted to engage with. I mean, that's so encouraging that that's the disruption and the interruption that is, I think, at the heart of what we're moving towards here.
Yeah. Yeah, so paradigm shifts are a really big part of this next chapter. One of the other things that I'll touch on a little bit, he talked about some of like our goals moving forward. One of those was a prayer initiative by the next generation, whether it's praying for the generation, next generation, or even more importantly, the next generation praying. I think this has kind of been a paradigm shift for me, and I think it's moved from the the me focus to the outward focus for me personally. But I've just seen, and I think it happens with every generation, every older generation has so many issues with the younger generation, with like how they do stuff. So, boomers don't like millennials. Millennials have issues with Gen Z.
That'll be forever.
Yeah, that'll be forever. I don't think we're going to change that. But what I've noticed, and even in my, I have, just because I work with them so much, I probably have more good things to say about Gen Z than bad things. But even in the bad things for me, there's just been this like shift in my heart of, you're saying all these things, but what are you actually doing to reach out to the next generation? What are you actually doing to build them up and empower them and encourage them? And so I just feel this shift of like, as older generations, millennials on up, I mean, Asbury kind of dictated that the next generation is 25 and under. That's a lot of the stuff they did. They said, if you're older than 25,
go home,
get out of here.
We
still love you, but you're gone. But anyone like older than that, if you're not doing something, even if it's just praying for the next generation, if you're not doing something, I just think as the church, we're totally missing the mark, because this generation is one that I think could be the best of us all, just with what they're passionate about and the things that they want to do and the things that they want to see happen. If we point them in the right direction, I just think that makes that will make or break the future of the church in so many ways. And so that prayer initiative, I've already seen students praying. Our student leadership team, the first Wednesday of every month, gathers together and they pray before Extreme, and they lead that. They said, hey, we want to take this on. We want to run with this. There's a student who is an eighth grader who started an alpha course in his middle school, awesome, just as like an area. So I remember when I did area, it was, if you don't sign up for dodgeball, what's the point of area? And he's like, I want to run
English
a Bible study
every day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I want to do a Bible study. And so there's so many places where the next generation is doing such significant things. And if we don't step up and walk alongside them and encourage them on, and even like, I'm just getting more and more of a sense of, if you don't diminish your spotlight to raise up the spotlight of the next generation, it's going to be a miss. There's a church, I can't remember where it is, but a church that just focused on, we're going to have as many positions of, whether it's leadership or even just like service, we want them to be filled by younger people. And it started with the older generation training the younger generation, and then the younger generation took over, and now they've got like middle school kids and even younger who are being trained to take over these positions, because it started with the older generation saying, yeah, I'd rather see someone else take over this rather than me have the reins.
So encouraging. Don't maintain a role or a position until you're having to crawl out of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Equip the next.
Right.
So they're able to run alongside of you, and you're able to run alongside of them.
Yeah.
I'm not pushing you along in your wheelchair as they're taking over.
Yeah.
I think this generation, it makes us uncomfortable sometimes, us being in the 25 and older, because it's not okay with them just to talk about. They want to see action and change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard because we don't always have the answers or the next steps, but I love that. It ruffles my feathers sometimes in my role as an educator, but it's good because it's driving us forward, and they're not okay with status quo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're okay about praying for something, but they want to see prayer in action, which I think is so important.
And I've seen that. I mean, for a while we weren't doing worship at XYM, just because at that point I was the only person who was leading it and to give the talk and lead a small group and prepare worship and all that stuff. It was just getting a lot for me to handle. And a student just point blank was like, "Hey, it's dumb that we're not doing worship." And I was like, "Yeah, you're probably yes. right. Yeah. Do you want to run with it?" And they're like, "Yeah, I want to do that." And they started that's something great. Up. They're running with it. So, I think that's that prayer piece within the next mm-hmm. generation. I think is such a huge piece for that big goal that we've talked about, doubling the number of Christ followers. Like, if we don't get the next generation, that goal is real. Real stinking difficult to get.
Was it Einstein? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
We've done church one way for a long time and we're not going to double
the
number of Christ followers or have this next generation be leading our church if we just keep chugging along the way we always have.
Yeah.
Something's got to
change. Well, I am a boomer and they are going to be.
You're a cool boomer, though.
They're going to be pushing. I told the girls, you're going to be pushing me in my wheelchair up Discovery Drive until they graduate. But that's something because. As a boomer, I think we were not prayers. I don't think my generation was were prayers. And I just think that really got lost. It didn't get passed down to the next generation. And so I just feel so blessed because I feel like God has given me a redo on this. And so with my eighth grade girls, it's been really interesting because that's been really important to me to really incorporate prayer back into the group. Mm-hmm. And prayer requests. And so I'm on a group chat with them. And it's so wonderful to see them really, they're coming alive. Like, could you pray for this? Could you pray for that? And it goes on all week long. And just to watch them. And then for me to encourage the girls, if we say we're going to pray, we're going to be faithful to do that to pray for them. And I just told my husband last night, we were talking about this very thing. And I said, and the great thing is, I'm going to hand it off to them and they're going to do it better.
Yeah.
They're going to do it better.
Oh, yeah.
Than my generation did it. Yep. And that's really exciting.
But they're standing on the shoulders of your generation, all the great things that you've taught them. You're just giving them the baton to run with.
Yes.
That's how church is supposed to be.
Yeah. Yep.
Constantly interwoven and then to the next,
Yep. You've got great ideas, though. Every time I let someone in the younger generation make a decision for me, it's almost always a better decision than I would have made.
You're working yourself out of a job.
They're running me out of a job, very quickly.
We can only hope so.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, I would just, I'm a little bit biased here, but as the youth pastor, I would encourage anyone who's not involved in some way with the next generation, find a way to get involved. I mean, we're always looking for small group leaders at XYM, but that's a big commitment. And there's so many other ways that you can do it. I think this is a really helpful episode. It's a really good reminder to look at the paradigm shifts. It's a really good reminder to see, like, these are the goals. This is what we're shooting for. This is our massive vision. Mm-hmm. So it's a helpful and good reminder. And I appreciate the conversation that you guys
can
had.
I do a close?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because you don't close it out the way I want you to, okay. Jay.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I really want to encourage people. If you have the time, don't be afraid to step into it with these kids. Because a friend of mine overheard two girls from XYM talking, and they said, then the two girls said, "Oh, you know, when Wendy and Lynn came, we didn't know what was going to happen because we're older." and they both said, "We love having them here."
Yeah.
And they appreciate it so much. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
They're so grateful when people will step into their lives and do life with them.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's just so rewarding. So really think about it.
Yeah.
We all learn from people a little bit farther down the road than us.
Yeah.
And that's it's so important. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode. I'm actually going to have Alex close us out in prayer, and then we'll see you next time.
I mean, Father, thank you so much for this conversation and the chance to rub shoulders with Jake and Wendy here. And I thank you, God, for all that you're doing at Calvary. I thank you, God, that we're a church without walls. We're doing it. We're down in the field, and we're striving for loving you and loving other people and loving the next generation. And I pray, God, that when we bump up against something that might make us feel uncomfortable, that you would just help us sit there and figure out how we can improve and how we can get closer to you so that we can point other people to you, Father. It's all about loving you and loving other people. Thank you, God, for this church and this day. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.